Hello, church family. Here's what's happening around Madison Avenue. Today's the day we have officially reopened. All of our Connect groups, adult, children, and youth are meeting. Connect groups will start at 9:15 a.m. and worship will begin at 10:30 a.m. The worship center is prepared for social distancing, and we have overflow seating in the activities building. We are excited to be gathering together again and look forward to seeing you when you are able to join us. In addition to the ways of giving we've had during the COVID-19 stay-at-home measures, we've added one more way of giving now that we have reopened. We have placed blue offering boxes in the back of the worship center and at the entrance of the activities building. Next, we would like to take a moment and recognize one of our 2020 graduates. Adam Long is the son of Dave and Kim Long and brother to Josh. His grandparents are Thelma Murphy and the late Jim Murphy and the late Ben and Phyllis Long. Adam is graduating from the University of Tennessee in Knoxville with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration with a focus in marketing. Adam was a member of the National Society of Leadership and Success. Adam's plans are to pursue a career in sales and marketing. Finally, here's an update from our children's pastor search team. After multiple interviews with multiple candidates, we are now focused on a single candidate at this time. Please pray for our upcoming site visit with this candidate and his wife. We are so excited and thank the church family for their prayers. That's what's happening around Madison Avenue. And now, let's worship together.
Welcome to worship, church. We're excited that you're here with us today. And we want to go ahead and start this time together with a beautiful hymn entitled, We're Marching to Zion. It's by Isaac Watts, and it simply talks about our walk with the Lord, that we are headed to our home, which is with the Lord. So let's sing this together.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let us come together. Let us join as one. Let us turn our faces to the rising sun. Let us go up to Zion, to God's holy hill, a mighty army that will worship Him. We will worship Him. We will worship Him. Jesus, He is our King. We will worship Him. Let the oceans roar. Let the heavens ring to the glory of our God as we worship Him. It is time for battle. It is time for war. As we sing Hosanna, as we praise the Lord, He will still the accuser, crush the enemy. As we celebrate God's victory, we will worship Him. We will worship Him. Jesus, He's our King. We will worship Him. Let the oceans roar. Let the heavens ring to the glory of our God as we worship Him.
So this next part I want to teach you just simply says that Jesus is King. That's all it is. But the tricky part is that it's in Zulu, which is an African language. So it's Jesu and Kosi. But you can get that. Let's sing it together.
Jesu and Kosi. 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 Jesu and we will worship Him. We will worship Him. Jesus, He's our King. We will worship Him. Let the oceans roar. Let the heavens ring to the glory of our God as we worship Him.
Last time.
We will worship Him. We will worship Him. Jesus, He's our King. We will worship Him. Let the oceans roar. Let the heavens ring to the glory of our God as we worship Him.
Hello, church family. Even though our services are online now, there are still several ways to give. First, you can mail a check to Madison Avenue Baptist Church at 1918 Madison Avenue, Maryville, Tennessee 37804. Second, you can give online at madisonavenuebc.org. Click on the Give tab in the upper right-hand corner. Third, you can drop off your offering using the mail slot at the entrance of our offices at the rear of the church. Fourth, you can text the word GIVE, that's G-I-V-E, to 865-238-4373. You will receive a link from this number, click the link, and follow the instructions. Lastly, we can arrange for your offering to be picked up by one of our pastors or staff members. Just call the church and let us know.
All right, church, we have one more song together. It's entitled Happy Day. If you want to look for the motions, you can look online at our website for a tutorial. And we're just going to sing this together and give the chance for a family as a whole to get up and celebrate, to shout that Jesus is alive. And it's a happy day when we surrender our lives to Him and make Him Lord of our lives.
greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious name. Yeah. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Well,
hello, everyone, and welcome back to our time of worship together here at Madison Avenue Baptist Church. I want to welcome you. If you are a guest and this is your first time listening to us, we're grateful that you're here. We do have good news to share. Our services are back open. And so at 10:30 on Sunday mornings here at the church, you can come into a sanctuary that has been disinfected, that is set up for social distancing. And we are doing our best to make sure that we provide a safe place for us to worship. But those of you who may be continuing to watch online, we welcome you back and are grateful for your continued support and encouragement, and also our time of study together in this book of Philippians. Let's pray before we jump into the Bible study. Father, we thank you for blessing us with the glorious gospel that is ours, that saves us, that makes us new. And Father, as your new creations, we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to look into your word, and we want to be challenged to be more like Jesus in every way. So Lord, would you take the time in the word today and bless it and help us to see ourselves and see how we need to change. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the interesting things about verses 3, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 is Paul's humility and his emphasis on spiritual growth. And so that's really going to be the focus of what we want to look at today. It's just the desire on the part of Apostle Paul and the desire that you and I should have to grow spiritually, to be ever growing spiritually. And when you think of the opposite of growth, the opposite of growth is atrophy. The opposite of growth is being stunted in your growth. And so to be atrophied, to be set back in any way in not growing is really the opposite of what Paul is trying to accomplish and trying to achieve here. So let's jump in to Philippians chapter 3. And really, I have two main ideas and then the conclusion here where Paul gives us, but really the focus just on the spiritual maturity. Listen to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. The first thing that I want you and I to see is if we're going to grow spiritually, you and I have to have a humble assessment of where we are. And if anyone could have pointed toward his perfections, the things that Paul accomplished, it would have been the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, he had a tremendous spiritual resume that we worked through last week. Yet he told us that he set all of those things aside for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. So, when Paul gives his humble assessment, he is saying in verse 12 that he has not obtained this. Well, the this refers to verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, I've not arrived in this aspect. I have not been perfected in this way. It is still a process that I am working out and working towards. Remember the promise of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue to do so until the day of Christ Jesus. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What Paul is admitting and what Paul is saying is that there's still work to do in my life, that Christ is still working in me and Christ is still shaping me, that I have not arrived spiritually, that I need to continue to grow. I need to continue to learn. And listen, the only way that can happen is if we humbly assess where we are spiritually and we admit and we confess, Lord, I'm not where I need to be. I'm continuing to grow. Now, praise God, I'm not where I used to be, right? We praise God that we're not left unchanged by the gospel, but we also know that we've got to continue to grow in our knowledge and in our understanding and in our experience of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And so we need to have that humble mindset that says, I'm still growing and I'm still learning. Even if you've been a Christian for 30 years, you can still grow. You can still learn. You can still move forward in your faith with greater understanding and greater depth of dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And so it really begins that way. I want to share a cross-reference with you, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is what Paul says, and it's really important. Fits well with what we're talking about here. Do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Isn't that a great reminder? Isn't the temptation for us to always find other people and compare ourselves to them and say things like, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or at least I'm not as immature as so-and-so. And we do that to do what? To puff ourselves up, to make ourselves feel better. When really what you and I are supposed to do is, in light of this journey that Christ has called us on, that you and I humbly assess between you and the Lord. Lord, I know I've got areas to grow in. Oh man, I know I've got blind spots. I know I've got weaknesses. I know that I have not arrived. I know that every time I open up these scriptures, you, in a beautiful, ongoing way, just progressively seem to reveal more and more to me about who I am and about who you are. And see, that dynamic of growth, of spiritual growth, is what Paul is after here. He's talking about his sanctification. So Paul's saying, back to Philippians 2:12, I'm working out. I'm continuing to work out. So don't think that I've arrived, Paul says. Don't think that I've reached this state of perfection. Don't think that I've matured and I have all of this figured out. I don't. I'm still growing, still maturing. And so the humble assessment is really important. In fact, it's so important that he says it again in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. So Paul's consideration of his spiritual journey is that he has a long way to go, that he has a desire to press on into the future that God has for him. And that's really the second part here. The spiritual growth begins with this humble assessment that I need to be growing. And I just want to ask you through this message today, are you growing in your faith? I mean, as you look at your growth in Jesus Christ, is it discernible? Is it measurable? Are you making progress? Are you taking steps in your development here as a believer who is being conformed to the image of Christ? Or do you really think, you know, maybe I have stagnated, maybe I have atrophied, maybe I have kind of slid backwards in this process of spiritual growth, and maybe God's calling you today to a fresh commitment to spiritual growth, to say, hey, I need to focus on this and make this a priority, in fact, the priority of my life. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but listen to this language, but I press on. There's a determination there on the part of the Apostle Paul. I press on. There is an urgency in that language. I am pressing on. I am moving forward. And the idea here is pursuit, that you are in hot pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the passion of your heart and the passion of your soul. And therefore, you press on to make it my own. Now, we need to talk about that verb for a minute. So Paul is saying, I'm on a hunt. I'm on a pursuit. And the purpose of that pursuit is to lay hold of. The verb is really intense. It's almost got a little tinge of violence in it, that you're trying to seize it. You're trying to grab hold of it and bring it down and make it your own. That's what Paul's vivid language here means. He says, I am on a hunt. I am on a persistent pursuit. This is not a one-time pressing on. This is a continuous, active pursuit. I am continuously and actively pursuing and pressing on for Christ, to lay hold of him, to make him my own. In the same way, Paul says in Philippians 3:10, Why am I pursuing Christ? Why am I laying hold of Christ? That I may know him in an ever deeper, ever growing way. He's speaking here of knowing him intimately, not knowing about him, not learning facts about him, but experiencing him for myself, that I may know him and that I may know the power of his resurrection at work in my life, raising me as a new creation, daily transforming me into the likeness of him, of Christ, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, even if it means suffering, even if it means experiencing pain and separation because of the name of Christ. I am conforming like him to him in his death and his resurrection. I haven't obtained that. I haven't been perfect in that by any means. I know that's the goal. I know that's the vision. And I press on into that vision. I pursue that vision. I relentlessly, with determination, pursue Christ, that I can lay hold of him. Why? That I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. That I may experience what it's like to suffer for the name of Christ. Now notice what it says very powerfully in verse 12. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is exciting. Where is Paul's confident hope? Where is Paul's freedom to push forward? And here's the answer. Paul knows that Christ has taken hold of him for this very purpose. That Christ is holding him while he's pursuing Christ. Isn't that amazing? We begin to think about what that means, that we have been taken hold of. We have been seized by the grip of his grace. And that, Paul says, is what propels me forward. That, Paul says, is what moves me into action in pursuing him. Because he's taken hold of me and I have a confident hope and assurance that he'll never let me go, it gives me confidence and boldness to pursue him in an even greater way. Because he's not going to drop me. He's always going to have me in the powerful grip of his grace. And therefore, out of that position, I am pursuing him because he has taken hold of me, because he has, remember back in verse number 9, because he has found me, because he has placed me in him, I now have the boldness and I have the freedom and I have the drive and I have the desire to pursue him. So I press on, I pursue diligently, I am on the hunt constantly to make Christ and the surpassing greatness of knowing him my life, because Christ Jesus has taken me as his own. I belong to Christ because Christ, through the gospel, has saved me and redeemed me and made me his own. Now, Paul says, verse 13, as a reminder, it's like Paul's looking them in the eye and he's putting his hand on their shoulders and he's saying to them once again, I assure you, that's the goal, but I haven't reached it yet. But boy, am I passionate about pursuing it. Boy, does it energize me when I think about pursuing this. So brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when you talk about the process of spiritual growth, Yes, we do have to have this determination and this drive and this desire to press on, to seize Christ and to know him in a greater way, experience him in a greater way. But when we talk about this process of spiritual growth and this relentless pursuit, there's several aspects to it, but this to me is the most important. But one thing I do. Could we just be honest enough to say that's not where we live on a day-to-day basis? When you and I wake up in the morning, there's not one thing to do. There's 100 things to do. There's 20 things to do. There's 10 things to do. There's 5 things to do. Whatever it may be in your certain context in your life, right? I mean, that's the nature of busyness, of having all of these competing needs, all of these competing values, and we wake up to all of these voices that are calling us in all of these different directions. Some of them live in your home, right? Some of them tug on your clothing and try to get your attention. I mean, we all have these things that are calling for our attention and saying, you need to get this taken care of. You need to work on this. You need to address this. And I'll tell you what I love about the Bible. There's a simplicity about the Bible that Paul says, look, in the midst of all of these things, only one thing matters. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha that's told in Luke chapter 10? Do you remember Jesus was going to visit Martha and her sister Mary was supposed to be, according to Martha, helping her with all the preparations, and she kind of gets upset with Mary because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, listening to his truth. And by the way, sitting at the feet of someone in that day was the picture of discipleship. Mary was identifying herself as a disciple of Jesus who was sitting at his feet. And as Eugene Peterson says in the Message translation, that it is Mary hanging on his every word. And Martha says, are you not going to tell her to get up and come and help me? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. And I think that describes our lives so well today. We are worried and anxious about many things, but only one thing is necessary. One thing. And it will not be taken from her. In fact, she's chosen the good portion. And when you go back to that, in that and you look at that in the original, what it means is referring to God as her portion. It's an Old Testament reference to God as the meal. In other words, she's chosen a different meal. Martha was making one meal, and Mary chose a different portion, a different meal. And Jesus said, I'm not going to ask her to get up from that. She's made the right choice. Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has found it. You and I need to have that same mentality about spiritual growth. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, at the end of the decade, there's only one thing that's going to matter. It's whether or not you and I look more like our Savior. You can set aside all the other things you worry about, but the only thing that matters is whether we are reflecting the DNA of our Savior in our lives, that we are being more and more recognizable as those who love and pursue and follow Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's why Paul liberates us, right? Paul liberates us when he says, one thing I do. So the first thing that you need to address in your spiritual growth is you need to look at all the things and remind yourself that the priority has to be like Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There has to have that one thing mentality, that one priority mentality. That if I succeed in all of these other things, but I fail in the one thing, I've failed at everything. So be a man of one thing. Be a woman of one thing. Be a teenager of one thing. Be a child of one thing. And let's be a church of one thing. Why one thing? Because only one thing matters, that you and I are conformed to the image of His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we glorify the Father, continuously and relentlessly pursuing Christ. Paul says, I have not arrived, but one thing I do. Now, once we have that clarity or that singularity of focus, maybe a laser focus, we have to do this next. Forgetting what lies behind. And let me just say here parenthetically that I think this is the number one reason why the growth of a Christian can be stunted, why the growth of a Christian can stagnate, why the growth of a Christian can atrophy. Why is it that you and I don't see spiritual growth? And he says, you got to forget what's in the rearview mirror. You got to quit looking over your shoulder. And some of you are spending so much time looking in the rearview mirror that you forget where you're supposed to be headed. You're constantly looking back, constantly analyzing, constantly reevaluating, constantly digging it up and reliving it again. And really, there's two aspects to this forgetting. There's a positive aspect and there's a negative aspect. The negative aspect is dwelling in the rearview mirror on your past failures. All of us in the past have failed in some way or another. But if we live in those failures, if we dwell on those failures, it will stagnate our growth in Jesus Christ. We'll continually be looking backwards. It's like we're in over our shoulders and we're looking backwards constantly, but we're trying to go forward, but we're looking backwards and we're trying to go forward and we're looking backwards. It's impossible for us to take the steps and the strides forward in the progress of knowing Christ if we're constantly looking over our shoulder, worried about something from our past. Trapped is a good word. Some of you are trapped in your past. And because you're trapped in your past, you can't move forward into the progress of the future that God has for you in Christ Jesus. So what is the word forgetting mean? It means releasing. You have to release yourself from the past. And here's what some people do. This is utterly amazing to me. God can and will and has forgiven you completely of your past. That's what it means to experience the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ. But you won't forgive yourself. God's forgiven you, but you won't forgive yourself. You won't release yourself. You have this twisted fascination, this twisted guilt, this twisted connection, if you will, with this past, and it is absolutely eating your lunch constantly, keeping you from fulfilling the future that God has for you. And so Paul says, you've got to forget the past. You've got to release it. You've got to let it go. You've got to put it under the blood of Christ. You've got to lay it down at the cross. And you've got to leave it there. You can't dig it back up. You can't pick it back up and throw it on your shoulder and say, let me carry this another day. Let me carry this another week. You have to release yourself. You have to forgive yourself as God in Christ has forgiven you. And you have to move on. Because listen, we're never going to reach our final destination out of looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to wreck, right? You're going to wreck if you're driving out of the rearview mirror moving forward. You can't see. The other way that the past traps us is not a negative, but it's a positive. It's past successes. Now, you've met this person. In fact, you may be this person. You start to talk about spiritual growth and spiritual progress and what God's teaching you and, you know, how are you experiencing Him and serving Him and fulfilling His call on your life? And they say, oh, you should have seen me 20 years ago. I was active in this, and I was teaching this, and I was doing this. And 20 years ago, man, if you could have seen me then, I was really growing, and I was really, and see, they're trapped by their past successes. Because you know what? We're not living in 20 years ago. We're living now. We're living in the current day. And so there's so many folks who will say, if you could have seen me then, if you could look back at me then, boy, you really would have seen some growth. You really would have seen some maturity. You really would have seen me at my best. What's happened? Well, you got complacent, right? You rested on your laurels, right? You rested on your accomplishments and your achievements. You're a used-to-be Christian. Right? You've met folks like, oh, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to be a GA leader. I used to be this. I used to be that. But where are you now? Where are you now? What is your pursuit of Christ like now? Because listen, it just doesn't, the switch doesn't just turn off because you reach retirement, or it doesn't just turn off because you've been at it for a while. The continuous drive and the continuous pressing on. I mean, when Paul writes this letter to the Philippians, I mean, he's a veteran at this point of the ministry. He's not a rookie. He's not a beginner. He's been at this for a while. This is one of his prison epistles that was written later in his life. And here's what he says, even as an older, mature veteran in the ministry, I still have the same drive and the same passion to know Christ as I did when he arrested me on that Damascus road. And he blinded me and he opened my eyes and he told me that I was going to be used in the kingdom for his glory. That has stoked the fires in the Apostle Paul that continue to be stoked even today in us. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have claimed it and made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and then this language, straining forward, right? This is the language of a runner running a race, seeing the finish line and leaning and stretching out. We've all seen runners lunge forward at the line, right? The Olympics. And that's the picture here. He says, man, I'm not anchored or I'm not ball and chain to my past. Man, I am running ahead. I am straining forward. I am forward lean, forward march. And so that's that language, straining forward. What lies ahead? Where is he looking? Where is his focus? See, Paul here says to you and I, the number one reason we don't grow spiritually is because we get, what, distracted. And we're looking here and we're looking there and we got 100 things we're worried about. And meanwhile, the one thing that we need, the one thing that we must have, we miss because we're distracted. We're looking everywhere except ahead to where we're supposed to be, where our eyes are focused on the prize. So forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, he uses the verb again, I press on. I'm on the hunt. I'm on the pursuit. And he's pursuing the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the goal? The goal is simply Christ, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the goal, right? The more I know of him, the more I see my need to grow. Isn't that true? So that's why we're pursuing him. He's the goal. He's the prize. And notice this. It is an upward call. I always get discouraged when I hear people say like, well, you're a pastor and you've been called, but I haven't been called. Hear me. All of us have been called to pursue Christ. All of us have a holy upward calling from God to pursue Christ passionately and persistently. So you have a calling. We so oftentimes define ourselves by our vocation. We start conversations off that way. Hey, I'm Tom. Hey, Tom, I'm Greg. Hey, Tom, what do you do for a living? Greg, what do you do for a living? I would love for us to ask a different question. Hey, what's your calling? It's such a different question. Because vocation focuses on what you're doing. But calling focuses on who you're being. And being is what we're about. I am being called into the image of Christ Jesus. I am being called into conformity to Jesus Christ. I am being called to the shaping of Christ in me. That's the future glory. That's the future hope. And notice how he says that. It is the call of God. The call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what separates us from all other religions. We are, they would say we're pursuing a goal. Oh, absolutely, we're pursuing a goal. We have an upward calling. Yeah, we have an upward calling, but look how he narrows the focus. Our upward calling from God is in Christ Jesus. That's where you and I live. That's where you and I abide. That's where you and I find our existence, our hope, our strength. It's in Christ Jesus. So then he says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. So we have a humble assessment when it comes to spiritual growth. Then we have a persistent pursuit when it comes to spiritual growth. And now we need to have a mature outlook when it comes to spiritual growth. Look at what it says. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Think what way? Think that we have not arrived. Think that we have a ways to go. Think that we have one thing that is more important than any other thing, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he says maturity is. Maturity realizes that the more we come to know Christ, the more we need to grow. Now, that's counterintuitive because most of you think, well, if you're mature, the more you know, the less you need to know. And it's exactly the opposite. Paul says, the more you know him, the more you know Christ, the more you know his word, the more you realize just how short you have fallen from truly knowing him and how you have to dig harder and how you have to pursue persistently. I can remember when I was in seminary. Seminary teaches you where to look and where to find the answer. Seminary does not give you this spiritual maturity. And so many people fall into that trap and they say, oh my gosh, you have a seminary degree or you have a PhD, a doctorate degree. All those things taught me is just how little I really know and how much I need to continue to grow in Christ Jesus. People will assume all the time, well, you know everything. You've been to seminary. No, I don't know everything, but I do know my Christ and I do want to pursue him. I don't want to atrophy. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to stop growing. I want to continue to growing in him. So maturity in the Christian life is realizing that you will always be incomplete and imperfect and unfinished on this side of heaven. But that incompleteness and that imperfection and that unfinished work, realizing this, you still press on because you know that one day your faith will be sight. Only the way he handles this in verse 15, so powerful. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise or differently, God will reveal that to you also. I love the way Paul says that. He says, I'm just gonna turn you over to God. You disagree, you puff up, you're like, no, that's not true, that's not right, I'm mature, I'm growing, I know more, I don't need more, all of those arguments. Paul says, if you don't think like this, God will straighten you out. I'll turn you over to God, and God will reveal that to you also. And then he says this, only let us hold true to what we have attained. In other words, don't go backwards. Hold your ground as you strain forward and as you press on and as you begin to take new ground, but don't slip, don't go backwards. Don't lose what you have gained. Don't give up ground, but hold true to where we are. And let's keep growing for the glory of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to know you and to walk hard after you, to pursue you with a unbridled passion and persistence that just is tenacious, that just doesn't quit, that just doesn't give up. Lord, so often we're distracted. So often we're trapped in our past by our successes and failures. And Father, we don't live life out of the windshield in the front, but we live life out of that rearview mirror. Lord, what a correction today for us to commit ourselves afresh and anew to that simple truth. One thing we do, forgetting what is behind, God, truly help us to release those things that trap us in our past. And straining towards what is ahead, we press on for the what? For the high calling that is ours, a calling that gives us a goal of knowing you more, a goal of conforming to Christ more, Lord, that we might look like him and bring glory to you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen, and God bless. If you have questions about today's message, or if you would like to know more about beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you would like to discuss what your next steps are in following Jesus, then please contact us through the email and phone number listed at the bottom of the screen. We would love the opportunity to serve you, to pray for you, or to hear how God is at work in your life. Please contact us, and one of our staff members will get back to you very shortly.